Inland Fisheries Resource Enhancement and Conservation in Nepal by Kishore Kumar Upadhyay. This presentation was delivered at the FAO NACA Expert Workshop on Inland Fisheries Resource Enhancement and Conservation in Asia, held from 8 to 11 February 2010 in Pattaya, Thailand.
3/4 of the country is mountainous, and it's landlocked between two big huge countries, China in the north and east, south and west is India. So total population, I wanted to give you some of the informations that we have. Total population engaged in agriculture, agricultural GDP and fisheries sector contribution to national GDP is around 0.9%, 0.94%. And AGDP contribution is 2.72%, and annual growth rate in this sector is around 6%. So this is one of the rivers that I have shown here. It is in the eastern part of the country. Some of the activities are being done in here from the government side also. So inland water resources is 0.82 million hectares. Inland fishery resource, like fish species, 187. This also is controversial because of the lack of the baseline scientific information. Very few work have been done on the side of exploring how many species are available in our natural waters. Still, the available report says 187 species dominated by carp species, and these resources belong to 11 orders, 31 families and 79 genera. Total fish production in the country itself was 48,230 metric tons last year, and aquaculture contribution is around more than 50%. And the capture fisheries is around 44%. The main thing to be noted here, there are 24 groups of ethnic people who are mainly engaged in fishing activities. They are called fishermen, are actively involved in capture fishery in the country. More than 106,000 families are involved. Nearly 2% of the population depend on fishery resources in Nepal. So this is one of the lake which has been recently rehabilitated, and there are groups of people, fishermen, who have organized into a community, and they are doing some of the conservation as well as aquaculture production activities in this lake. So I want to give a note here because we have not taken into consideration the crustaceans, mollusks and other aquatic organisms that exist in inland water bodies, in those water bodies, and people consume them but has not been documented yet. So now I come to the general overview of the resource enhancement and conservation. We have a very short history. People are unaware of the importance of the resource conservation. Some practices are initiated by the government, like hatchery produced and tagged seed release program, close season restriction of fishing gear and species, declaration of sanctuaries and protected areas. As for example, I give an example of the eastern region. It's a Kosi River system, one of the big river system, and Rara Lake in the high altitude of Nepal. And government has now initiated community river concept, and we are formulating a regulation for the community river concept, but it is under the process of preparing only. So this slide I showed you, it's a runoff type of reservoir recently developed in Nepal for hydropower generation, Kaligandaki Reservoir. It is in the western part of Nepal, and around more than 144 megawatts is supposed to be produced by this hydropower project, but right now we are facing a load shedding of 12 hours in a day. So it was very difficult. And I want to mention here that this, due to the time constraint, I could not, manage to make a very good review paper. But still I tried my best, whatever was available, I tried to incorporate in here. So legislative arrangements in the government side. Conservation of aquatic life is addressed by Aquatic Animal and Protection Act 1961, though rules and regulations are still not passed by the parliament, is under the process. Nepal Environment Policy and Action Plan is there, NEPAP, to maintain balance between economic development and environmental conservation, but this NEPAP do not have representation from the agricultural sector, so we are trying to negotiate with them to put some people in there so that we can work with them for the development and environmental conservation. EPA practice recently made compulsory by the government. Establishment of sanctuaries and Ramsar sites, establishments of fish ladder by the hydropower project is also made compulsory for the bigger hydropower projects, more than 5 megawatt projects. They are supposed to make the EIA first and then do the development work. Activities such as fish hatchery establishment and operation, open water stocking and ranching, fish trapping and hauling during migration, and introduction of aquaculture practice is the main program that has been undertaken by the Directorate of Fisheries Development. Now I come to the constraints. We have lots of constraints. High population pressure and prevailing poverty. Weak institutional administrative planning and management capacity. Lack of integrated land and water use planning. Absence of essential database, which is the major issue. Lack of detailed inventory, fish diversity, hydrographic, limnology, catch and production data of different open waters, causing difficulties in management and proper planning. Inadequate information system and lack of coordination between various stakeholders. Inadequate arrangements for the implementation of policies and strategies for conservation. Absence of effective programs, policy act and laws for land and water resources and wetlands, because there is a problem already, the definition, about the definition of the wetlands to be considered, because if we talk about rivers, ponds and all other, reservoirs, lakes, they might come to the wetland definition as I see in IUCN convention. So that is also one of the projects, and ownership is the problem in our country, because so many institutions, governmental, non-governmental, they are involved in developing those water bodies and harnessing the profits. Limited public awareness, which is a bottleneck. Technical capabilities and infrastructures are also lacking. Now I have shown here what I told just now. Controversy between different geo and institutions restricts the possibilities for effective utilization of natural waters. There are some wetlands and multiple ownership leading to the controversy between the owners and making the management of these wetlands difficult and affecting fish production and protection. Conflict between hydropower production and fish production in reservoirs. The torrential nature of Nepalese rivers, because it's a very low, short stretch from north to south. It is optimum is maybe 200 kilometers or less than that. So that is also one of the problem, and low levels of public awareness and participation in development activities. Now, based on those constraints, I tried to, give you some recommendations that I have already in my review paper. I'll just read those lines. Inland water resources have hydrological, biological, economic, aesthetic, and recreational value, providing many benefits to the nation. Therefore, legal definition of both inland water resource and wetlands must be defined, and database updating is seriously needed. Develop tools for systematic and comprehensive collection of fisheries statistics. This is urgently needed for a sound fisheries management. Initiate investigations in fish population dynamics in different water bodies, including rivers. Priority should be given to accessible and important water bodies, followed by the other water bodies. Initiate investigations to the possibilities of aquaculture in rivers and streams utilizing indigenous species. Initiate investigations on impact of stocking of fish in rivers for enhancement of fish production, which is started in Kaligandaki Reservoir already. Strict and periodic monitoring and evaluation of the mitigation measures to evaluate the impact on environment. The environmental monitoring and evaluation should not be done only by the project authorities. Proper government or private independent institutions should be given the job. Deepen investigations in limnology of natural waters. Knowledge of limnology is the basis for understanding the fish production in natural waters. Therefore, strengthen the capacity of concerned institutions in this field. Because when we were talking about scientific basis, we need to do this. Based on this, maybe we can better utilize our resources. Initiate activities for further development of manpower in the field of open water fisheries management. Nepal continues to be short of well-qualified technical and managerial manpower. Capacity building, including human resource development and institutional development and or strengthening to facilitate the preparation and or implementation of the national strategies, plans for priority programs and activities for conservation of biological diversity and sustainable use of its components. Establish a natural water wetlands development and conservation committee, which has been proposed several times but is not yet executed. Identification of an institution responsible for coordinating the wise use and conservation of wetlands and to work on resolving land use conflicts, which is a countrywide problem about the land use policies and stuff. Right now I'll let you know that still we are in a, what you call is planning stage, not a stable status in the country politically. We are in the process of making our constitution, so I think in the future it will help us to have those kind of committees and implement our program. Aquatic resources should be included in the planning process. Being appended to agriculture development programs, fisheries have not received due priority. Policy should be adopted to ensure that fisheries resources are adequately protected. At present, the rivers of Nepal are utilized either for generating hydropower or for irrigation purposes only, with little consideration being given to their fisheries value. For the conservation of the freshwater fishery resource, it is important to involve fisheries professionals and local communities in the planning and feasibility study phases of water resources development projects. So maybe a few more of the recommendations. These recommendations would be carried out, I hope, after we stabilize our country's situation. Conduct a socio-economic baseline survey of fisheries communities. The fishery in natural waters is directly dependent on the socio-economic conditions of the fishermen. A survey is very important and relevant for the economic upliftment of fishing communities as well as the development of natural water fisheries in the country. Increase popular awareness of the need for fish protection and development of sustainable fisheries. This activity plays an important role in poverty alleviation as well as providing sources of needed food. As the country's of the Trans-Himalayan region share many important fish species, a regional cooperative effort is needed to share experiences and to initiate collective activities to protect and manage such valuable fisheries resources. Identification of critical habitat and protection measures, incorporation of the community participation, protection of rights of users, and exact legislation for the conservation and sustainable use of inland water resources is required. Participatory approach is the best because the protected area cannot survive without the support of the local people. So, last but not least, development of innovative measures that create economic incentives for biodiversity conservation and that compensate local communities that incur opportunity costs associated with its conservation. Sanctuaries and or no fishing zone are to be established to increase the population of indigenous threatened species. Implementation of above-mentioned issues need to have firm political will and suitable legislation along with appropriate plan of action to formulate long and short-term research as well as development projects. Thank you very much. Thank you.